This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio Indy, brought to you through the courtesy of the Indiana State Knights of Columbus. I'm Kent Blanford. In studio with me, Bridget Eyre.
Hello, Kent. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
And we've got a great show today, so we're going to jump right into it. We're going to be talking about corrections. And we're not just talking about, you know, somebody misspelled something. We're talking about corrections that affect lives.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to be talking about really a healing ministry to those who are in the correction system. And joining us today is Deacon Mark Kellums. He is the coordinator of the corrections ministry for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So he's joining us today. Welcome to Faith in Action, Deacon Mark.
Hello, Bridget. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You have an interesting background. We did a show for Faith in Action, I don't know, maybe about a year ago or so, about corrections. And I want to have you refresh our listeners' memory about your interesting background that you have besides being a deacon. You've long-term attorney. Talk about your background.
Yes. Hi. I do have a legal background. I have spent most of my legal career as a judge or in a judicial capacity. I graduated from law school way back in 1978 and then was on the bench full-time in January of 1981. And that was a lot quicker than I expected it to be. And truth be known, I had no idea what I was doing. But the saving grace is I knew I didn't know what I was doing, and I asked for and received a lot of help. So I spent 38 years in Monroe County in the circuit court, and a lot of that time I spent doing criminal court, and so it gave me a real insight into the criminal law, how people are processed through the system. I've also visited a number of prisons, both as a judge and now as a deacon. So when the job opened up in the Archdiocese for the coordinator for corrections ministry, I thought that might be a great fit for me, not only as an ordained deacon, but also as an experienced criminal court judge.
I'm curious, are you a lifelong Catholic? And when did you become a deacon? How long have you been a deacon?
I'm actually a convert. I was raised a Baptist boy and converted when I was pretty young, about 18 years old. And so I've been a Catholic most of my life and an active Catholic almost the entire time, sometimes more devout than others as our lives go, but always pretty active in the church. We raised our kids and they went to Catholic school, and I did a lot of volunteering with them. So when the opportunity for the diaconate came along in the mid-2000s, I inquired of it and prayed about it and decided ultimately to submit an application. We went through 4 years of training, education, writing papers, doing projects, just like a kid in school. And I have to tell you, I was as happy as any graduate to hand in my last paper and move on. But we were ordained in 2008, June of 2008. And as Kent and I discussed before the program began, his brother Kerry was in my class, and we're long friends. And he handles the preparation of new deacons in the formation program, so he's intimately involved in the upcoming class of deacons.
That's really super cool. Well, I want to mention before we get too far into the show that there is a conference coming up October 9th, Saturday, October 9th at Roncalli. I just want to get that out there. And after the break, we'll talk more about that conference that is dealing with the corrections, I guess, ministry, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's going to deal with corrections ministry and also a look from the inside out by a psychiatrist who works in the prisons.
Okay, so that's a little tease for the second half. Well, I want to ask you, Deacon, what's it like to be in prison for those who are in prison?
Well, you, one of the things that my keynote speaker is going to talk about is how unprepared she was for the prison setting. You know, we all can imagine being incarcerated. We can all think it would not be a good thing, that we want to avoid it. Of course, it does have a deterrent a factor to it for those citizens who, you know, want to stay in line and not receive that punishment. But I don't think we can ever truly understand until we step inside a prison, have the, even as a visitor, have the prison gate slam behind you, and they do slam, and you walk into a pretty bleak existence. Of course, prisons are not luxurious, as no one would expect them to be, but they're pretty bleak. They're limestone painted green. There are very few amenities of any kind. But there's a certain sound and smell to being in a prison that sort of permeates your deepest being. And I can call it back to mind even talking about it. So, you know, we put people in prison for all sorts of reasons. We don't expect them to have a great time in there, I guess, but I think we lose sight of their humanity. And so being in prison is difficult for everyone. It's scary, even for the tough guys. It's lonely. They miss their family, their children, their significant others, their parents. They miss significant events in people's lives. They are incarcerated when their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters die, and they can't get out and go and be a part of the family dynamic. They yearn for a better life. Most of them suffer from some form of addiction, alcohol or drugs or both. And they're pretty much lost souls. And we, you know, we're mandated by Christ to visit those in prison. And it says that pretty clearly in Matthew. And it's can be a lost ministry if we're not careful. So my ministry was begun by Cardinal Tobin when he was our Archbishop. He thought we needed to have a special emphasis on prison ministry, and so a task force was created, a department was established. A wonderful person, administrator from IUPUI, helped set it all up and get it going, and then they looked for somebody to take over and try to run the ministry, and I was hired in July of 2018 on a very part-time basis, and then moved into a more part-time basis, a more fuller part-time basis in January of 2019. So I've been there a little bit now and have tried to expand the ministry as best I can.
We're talking with Deacon Mark Kellums. He's the coordinator of the Corrections Ministry for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and I'm glad you talked a little bit about the ministry. So are you, as your deacon responsibilities, are you doing any parish work, and what parish are you based out of? Are you like parked? Because, you know, sometimes deacons have more than one duty, I guess.
Yeah. My wife and I were lifelong Bloomington residents. We grew up there, met in high school, and lived there our whole lives, well, save my 4 years in the military. And had no expectations of ever moving until last year when, due to family obligations, our daughter had 3 children, her house burned down. It was a complex situation of unfortunate events. And my wife and I moved up here closer to her. So we live in the same neighborhood in Bartersville, which makes it handy. So I transferred from St. Charles Borromeo Church in Bloomington, my lifelong church. My wife's great grandparents were founding members, or maybe great great. I have to think about that. We moved up here, and I was transferred to St. Francis and Claire of Assisi Church in Greenwood, a wonderful parish. I served with another deacon there, Ron Peru, and we're pretty busy. So we serve certainly Father Steve or any visiting priests at Mass. We preach once a week. We do baptisms and weddings and funeral services as the schedule. We do committal services in the cemetery. We're going to be teaching to the youth group in December, visit people who are sick. We go with Father Steve when he has Mass in the various elder care facilities in our district. So we do whatever comes up that we can do to be helpful. We haven't been able to visit in homes and facilities for a long time due to COVID. That's sort of opening up again, so we're doing a lot more of that. You know, church is not a building, but a group of people, us people who are followers of Christ. And so when those people can't come to us, we have an obligation to go to them and help them be a part of the community. So we're pretty busy, and it's a wonderful place to be. I'm very happy there.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, Christ calls us to visit those in prison. How much of your ministry is involved in directly visiting or facilitating other people to make those visits or teach RCIA or whatever in the prisons?
My title is coordinator for a reason. I'm not the director. I don't direct those people who visit. I try to coordinate their efforts and provide them with the support that I can to make it more productive. I do go into the prisons. I did obtain, before COVID, a blue badge, which is the highest security level, so I can move in and out a little more simply. But primarily, it's other people who do this ministry. And those come primarily from parishes that are located near or around prison facilities. So, for instance, in Bloomington, we've never had a prison ministry because it's a drive distance to a penal facility for them, other than the Monroe County Jail. We've done some work in the Monroe County Jail, but probably the closest facility is maybe half an hour or 45 minutes to an hour away. However, those parishes around prison facilities have had, in various stages of development and action, people who have visited prisons for years. And, for instance, Sister Dorothy Reshi is a Sister of Providence in Terre Haute. She has long been involved in prison ministry, primarily at the Federal Correctional Center there. There are 10 facilities in our archdiocese, believe it or not, 10, 9 state prison facilities and 1 federal facility. And the Federal Correctional Center in Terre Haute is where what is euphemistically called death row is, and where a great number of executions happened near the end of the Trump administration. So it is a busy place, and those people hunger for ministry. We become the face of Christ for those who have no other. Some people become interested, and through RCIA, if it's possible, and they're there long enough, are brought into the church. So a couple of years back, when we were still visiting, I went with the Archbishop into the prisons, which I do over 4 times a year normally. And we baptized and confirmed fellas. So it was great. Wonderful experience.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this upcoming conference on Saturday, October 9th at Roncalli, to talk about the mental health aspect of those on the inside, I guess, is what the theme is. We're going to talk more about that when we come back, so stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, even though I'm not a Catholic, I listen to your station.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Kent Blanford is in the studio with me, and we're talking with Deacon Mark Kellums. He is the coordinator of corrections ministry for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And I want to get to this event that's coming up, the conference that's Saturday, October 9th at Roncalli. Tell us a little bit about it, and I know you wanted to mention the keynote speaker.
Yes, thanks, Bridget. This is the fifth annual conference. Last year's was virtual. This year, because we still don't know exactly how COVID affects things, we're doing it live and live streamed. So those who want to come are encouraged to come. Everybody will be encouraged to wear a mask, and it's a big auditorium at Roncalli. I'll put in a good word for Roncalli. They couldn't have been more cooperative in helping me set this conference up. And I'm the grandfather of two Roncalli Royals, so a freshman and a junior. So I have a real connection to that high school. It is free to attend, although we do ask you to register. If you register and want to do it live stream, we'll send you the link. If you register and come live, we'll have a breakfast and a box lunch for you. So I need to know how many people are coming, and that's one of the reasons we do the registration part. It starts at 8:30. Archbishop Thompson is going to do the opening, the introduction and then opening blessing. And I'm grateful that he's willing to do that. We have a speaker first about mental health and prison treatment in Columbus, Indiana. Our keynote speaker is Dr. Christine Montross. A medical doctor, a practicing inpatient psychiatrist, and an associate professor of psychiatry and human behavior at the Warren Alpert Medical School of Brown University. She is an Indianapolis native, even though she practices in Delaware, and so we're delighted to have her and her experience working in prisons. She has written a book called Waiting for an Echo, The Madness of American Incarceration. And it is most interesting, and I would encourage anybody who's interested in this to pick up a copy of that and read through it. So October 9th from 8:30 to 3:30, those who come and stay through the whole event, I'm going to have a door prize drawing with a number of really neat things that came from St. Mildred. And I think we're having a quilt made by someone in the women's prison. So,
oh wow, that's cool.
A little encouragement to come, and we have fun doing that at the end.
So, how do people register? Is there a website to do that at? How do they find that?
There is. If you go to www.archindy.com/corrections, that'll take you directly to it. archindy.com/corrections. Or archindy.org/corrections. Or if you just want to pull up the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and find the corrections page, a couple more steps, but that's easy for people who can't remember the link. And it says register here, and it's very easy to fill out. We work through Eventbrite. It asks for very little information, just kind of contact stuff in your name so that we can make sure you get the information you need to participate.
Well, we have about 8 minutes left or so, and I want to get to some of these other questions. At the break, you had mentioned that it's really important how people are treated in when they are incarcerated, because you said 95% of people who are incarcerated do return to society. So talk a little bit about the importance of what happens when they're there, because they will come out at some point.
You know, regardless of who it is in prison, they live a hard life there. Some of the young ones go in and they end up actually going to crime school and learn more about how to be better criminals than when they come out. So As a judge, I was always very hesitant to send the younger ones in. Well, I guess I was always hesitant to send anybody to prison, even though I sent many people, some for very long sentences due to very difficult situations, horrible crimes that they committed. They became a real danger and had to be removed from society. But still, those people go in there, most people who go in there get out. So beyond the ministry obligation we have to treat people humanely and as human beings, even if they're incarcerated and they're still children of God, and we have obligations to them through the gospel, we also, as a society, have the pragmatic realization that these people will come out, and do we want them worse? Of course we don't. We want them to be healthy. The Constitution of the state of Indiana tells us that the purpose of incarceration is rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very difficult to accomplish in the current setting. We went through a period of time where there was a lock them up and throw away as a key attitude across America, and the legislatures passed more and more laws and made sentences more and more severe and built more and more prisons. We have an incredibly high prison budget in Indiana, for instance. The number of facilities that we try to hold, maintain and keep functioning, and unfortunately, it provides a very small portion of that amount of money for rehabilitation, education, training, counseling, and recovery from the plague of alcohol and drug addiction. So it's always a balance for them. I'm not faulting the prison system themselves. They work with what they have. But we are moving as a society away from the idea that incarceration is the be-all, end-all. And we've learned that no matter how hard we try, locking people up doesn't often make them better or make us better as a society. So if we put more money as the Scandinavian peoples put more of their money into treatment, counseling, and education, and less of their money into incarceration, and we do it just the other way, which we need to move slowly but surely away from.
And I'm sure it's more of a many-pronged approach to kind of have people not go to prison to begin with, in terms of maybe have family stable life, stable family life, and other things that, addressing poverty and, other issues. And maybe we could do a whole show on that. Like, what can we do as a society to help people, not commit crimes, I guess, what I'm saying, versus prevention on the front end. But people are where they're at. In terms of redirecting people to therapeutic opportunities, what kind of role is the church playing? I'm sure the church is playing some role to a certain extent. At least they come in for RCIA, that they have a friendly face. I mean, may not be therapy per se, but are there things that the church or our listeners can do to help people that are in these kinds of situations?
Part of the corrections ministry involves what we call reentry, or helping people reenter society.
Mm-hmm.
I just received a grant from an individual to help provide clothing and the bare necessities like underwear for people who get out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
They often go from a prison setting to outside the gates with $40 and a bag full of clothes they had on when they went in maybe years ago. And they have almost nowhere to go or nowhere to live or nowhere to work. Convicted felons find it extremely hard to find work because the general working populace doesn't want to hire felons. And it's very easy to check these days. 30 years ago, you could lie about it, and it was so much trouble to find some criminal history that many felons were able to find work. Now they can't lie about it because you can get a person's criminal history by very simple and cheap means. So they have a hard time reacclimating into society. So, for instance, the Archdiocese is attempting to help redirect people to the proper helping agencies that do that. There is an agency in Indianapolis called Trusted Mentors where they have a recycling service and they hire these people to work. They have volunteers who come and try to take over as a mentor for a younger person being released from prison. Well, it could be anybody, I guess,
mm-hmm.
but especially the younger people, and kind of be their their father or mother figure, or their parental figure is a better way, I guess. Somebody who can kind of guide them and answer their questions and really care about them as an individual. The problem with those ministries is trying to remain objective and not becoming personally connected to a person like that, because there's often failures, too. The recidivism rate is incredibly high in America, and a large number of the recidivism is due to technical violations and not the commission of new crimes. So they get out, they're put on parole or probation, they're unable to follow the rules because they just can't get their act together, which causes them to violate, and or they commit a petty crime, and oftentimes that results in their being revoked and they go back to prison, which, again, isn't productive for all of us. But the prison system is a huge cost to us as taxpayers, so we have an interest in trying to make that system more responsive to the needs of those people there and to those of us as citizens.
Deacon, we're just about out of time. If you could give us that information again about the upcoming conference and who should attend also.
Well, I think anybody who's interested in the corrections ministry should attend. Those people who visit are regular attenders. Those people who are interested maybe in visiting a prison and hadn't really taken a step forward, not only will Dr. Montross speak, but there'll be a panel discussion of prison officials and volunteers. And our afternoon speaker is Judge William Hughes from Noblesville, who's going to talk a little bit about the criminal justice system, how it works and operates, and give an explanation to non-legal people as to how the process works. So it ought to be very interesting for anybody in a therapeutic setting or otherwise. And, oh, by the way, it's free. So,
with breakfast?
A little time and effort with breakfast and a box lunch.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's right.
So it's Saturday, October 9th at Roncalli, and you can get that by going to the Corrections Ministry on the Arch Indy website. Deacon Mark Kellums, Coordinator of Corrections Ministry for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, thank you so much for being our guest today.
It was a pleasure, and I'm happy to come back anytime. Thanks, Bridget.
All right, we'll have you back.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.